Now the first pitch from Wheeler. Hit in the air to left center field. Pache again. It's going to be over his head, and it's off the top of the wall. Nope, now they're going to call a home run. They're going to say a home run for Joey Votto in his first spring training at bats. How about that? On the first pitch he saw. 1-0 Blue Jays.
Luke and Harry in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Hello, welcome to Jays From Home, a podcast about the Toronto Blue Jays hosted by two brothers. That's myself, Steve, and my brother, Matt.
Yes, hello.
You can find us on social media. Just search for Jays From Home. I don't know, Matt, if you're using Twitter a lot with the account. I don't know.
I post up on Twitter. We posted the last episode, our bonus episode that we aired earlier in the week with Tim Newby. I posted that, and that got a lot of responses, I think, from Tim Newby's Twitter followers, I guess you could say.
Cool, yeah. I heard that. I listened to that interview when I was driving home on Thursday. I was by myself, so I needed lots of stuff to listen to. So that was a good interview. And I talked to Glenn, our brother Glenn, on Friday, and he pointed out that it's kind of interesting that I think he seemed to remember that we had a Louisville Slugger bat when we were growing up.
About
right. But he was saying, like, you know, interesting that, you know, that brand name dates all the way back to one person, a nickname. So that's kind of cool. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, and like there's lots of history in the names of baseball. Spalding is another name that dates back to the 1800s and the early days of baseball. So it is very cool that we held in our hands basically a replica of an artifact.
So not quite a piece of history. So Spalding, does that come from a nickname from someone who it kind of turned into a different word? So maybe it started with the nickname was he's balding, and it just got shortened to Spalding.
No. That is not the case. It is from I'm going to Spalding's website right now. It was created in 1876 by I forget his first name now. It's just giving me a lot of basketballs on their website, but let's see here.
Well, it is what they're known for now, so.
Yeah, okay, so here's on Wikipedia. Spalding was founded by Albert Spalding in Chicago 1876 as a baseball manufacturer. So there you go.
Interesting. Well, I guess Rawlings kind of took over that. Okay, so where do you want to start? In the notes, we've got the weekly outcomes, but there's also been a lot of Blue Jays news.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of Blue Jays news. Let's start with our Blue Jays news. Now we haven't talked in a while, so I kind of edited some stuff out here. But did you hear that? This is an old one, but Hyunjin Ryu is a billionaire. Did you know that in Korea? He's a Korean billionaire.
No, I did not hear that. You sent the only Hyunjin Ryu thing that you sent me was that he signed with a team in Korea, right?
Exactly. He signed for 17 billion won.
Oh, I see.
Which is equivalent to a little over $12 million in American.
Well, that's a pretty good contract, I guess, for him to get.
Yeah, it is. So that that's good that he has found a place to sign. He's kind of gone home, and we'll talk a little bit more about Korean baseball or baseball in Korea, I should say, a little later in the show. But nice to see that he's found a spot to kind of finish his career, and good luck to him going forward.
Yeah, for sure. And he signed with to finish that off, the Hanwha Eagles. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Hanwha Eagles. It was an 8-year deal worth 17 billion won or $12.4 million. It's the largest contract in KBO history, apparently.
Wow, that's pretty good. I guess, he's played well enough in the MLB that he deserves it. So that's good.
Well, yeah, and he's not. He's I think he's what, like 35 years old-ish, I want to say. So he's still got some pitches left in his arm, I think. So.
Yep, for sure. Especially with the repaired arm from a couple of seasons ago. Exactly. Are we going bottom to top again with these notes? I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So this one maybe isn't quite obvious if you're just kind of scrolling, but we all know that Justin Turner signed with the Jays, but it seems that maybe Vladdy confessed to some tampering here.
Oh yeah, that's right. You sent this to me. I don't know if I'd call that tampering. So the note here says basically he said at first base that he should sign with the Blue Jays.
That's tampering. That's tampering. If that came out during the season, that would be tampering, I think. I'm not totally up on the rules, but that sounds like tampering to me. But I guess you can't really prosecute that or penalize that in hindsight.
Well, yeah, I guess you can't really also police first base chatter between the players. Like that's they talk about all sorts of things that we never know about.
That's true. And that would be a good documentary is getting like some sort of like mic that the players don't know about on first base, so we could hear what they actually talk about, not like the edited they know they're being recorded conversations.
Yeah, the mic'd up games that they have sometimes.
Exactly. So mic'd up, but they don't know they're mic'd up.
That might be a little difficult. I don't know. Okay. Next one. We talked about Ben Wagner not being or basically being let go from the Blue Jays broadcast staff. But some good news for Wagner. He's got a deal with the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, so he'll be doing the radio broadcasts for them. So nice to see that he has found a good landing spot. Also, you know, good to know that he's sticking with at least a bird-themed team, even though they are a rival of the Blue Jays. But he should have a lot of fun calling games for the Orioles in the future.
Yeah, and I guess good news for Wagner is that he'll probably be able to broadcast the team from the road this time instead of what he was doing the last two seasons with the Jays.
Mm-hmm. Now this news coming up here, this is old. I guess you can say this is old news, but figured we should talk about it a little bit. But the Giants announced that they signed Matt Chapman to a 3-year deal with an opt out after the first year. So he's gone from the Jays, so that chapter is officially over.
Yeah, so I was going to say that's interesting that it's a 3-year deal because I wouldn't think that his resume from last season would give him more than a 1-year deal. But if he's got an opt out after the first year, then that kind of makes sense because then he can go for a bigger contract if he has a really good season this year.
Exactly, and he, you know, he's turned down, you know, at least a couple $100 million offers from the A's before he was traded, and also from the Jays at some point. I'm not sure when that was offered to him, but he's definitely taking a pay cut, and he's getting not as much as he had anticipated he would get before the year ended last year.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, next piece of news on the list here. This is, I don't know if you would call this a minor news story.
Well, you technically can call it that, yes.
This was actually pretty big news because there's been a lot of chatter about Joey Votto in, like, pretty much since the last season, I think.
Since the end of the season, when it was basically assumed that he probably wasn't going to be back with the Reds.
Yeah. Surprisingly, though, he didn't get traded anywhere. So people, I guess, weren't sure what was going on. But so he signed a minor league deal with the Blue Jays. Not a major deal, but this is a minor league deal, which is, I find, kind of interesting because I mean, we talked about it last episode that I don't think that there's really a fit for him on the team, given like the like we have a DH or two and an extra first baseman. So I'm not sure how he fits, but I think maybe we'll talk about Votto a little bit more in the weekly outcomes.
But I don't know if you have any other thoughts. Nice to see him at least sign in Toronto as opposed to some other team. So yeah, we'll talk about him in the weekly outcomes. We'll save this news for a few minutes. But so that was, I think, maybe the biggest news story of the past couple weeks for the Blue Jays. Now here's something that came up in my email inbox. I subscribe to the Blue Jays MLB newsletter that former guest on the show Keegan Matheson writes, and the Blue Jays, they want to rebrand Tim Mayza. Did I send you this story?
Yeah, you did. And I thought, I can't remember what comments I made about it, so I don't really have anything new to say about it. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I guess you said it's because he has a low... It stems from a low rating in the MLB The Show, right? Isn't that something to do with it?
Yeah, he's rated low for some reason. I'm not sure why. But yeah, I guess the bullpen, Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson, they want to market him or rebrand Tim Mayza just to help him kind of get a better reputation in the video game, I guess. So I had some ideas that we could rebrand Tim Mayza. I thought, you know, like you could turn him into a righty. That could work.
Well, maybe one of those switch pitching pitchers. We had the Blue Jays had one of those a few seasons ago.
That's right. Yeah. I forget his name now, but yeah, you're right. Or they could convert him into a starter, or maybe even a two-way player.
Shohei Ohtani is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, other ideas I had. I just wrote down Mayza's edge, so that can just, he's got to come up with a pitch, and that he can rebrand his put away pitch as the Mayza's edge. And then I thought, you know, a good theme song could be "Call Me Mayza."
I assume that would be to the tune of "Call Me Maybe."
Exactly.
I don't know. You'd have to come up with some lyrics for that. Maybe you can share that on social media.
I'll have to work on that one. I haven't really thought that far ahead, but I'll get the Jays bullpen and the Jays marketing team to help me out on that one.
Well, just the other thought I had about that is so I don't have any ideas for Mayza's rebrand, but just the story itself. I know it's spring training and this kind of stuff comes out a lot, but it kind of seems like the Blue Jays are having fun again. Is what I get out of it.
You know, that's a good point. I've been kind of a little bit removed from spring training this year. Maybe it's because there's no WBC tournament to kind of latch on to, because you know, we joke that, you know, all these games are pretty meaningless. So I have really not watched any spring training baseball so far this year. So I'm just kind of waiting for the real baseball to start. But yeah, it's hard to get a kind of read on the team. But that's a good point that, yeah, maybe they are actually just having fun again, which is a good sign.
Yeah. And actually, this is a good segue into the next one. Speaking of fun, I didn't do that on purpose. But so Hazel May, I guess she... she called it her annual season opening sit down conversations. I've incorrectly interpreted it to mean her annual sit down with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. specifically, but I guess that kind of counts. He said that he wants the home run jacket to return.
I do too. I think that, you know, like, you know, if that, you know, why did he have the downturn in power last year? Maybe it was the lack of a home run jacket. Maybe he needs that jacket to kind of replenish his power.
so something was sewn into the jacket is, you know, they should keep that quiet because the MLB might look into that.
Yeah. Like, hopefully it's not something that's illegally performance enhancing. but no, yeah. Like, why not have fun? Like, all it's like the Jays, once they decided they needed to be serious, all the other teams around MLB decided, oh, fun is fun. Let's have fun. And the Jays kind of missed out on that emerging trend. And the home run jacket was one of the original versions of that.
That's true. I think I prefer the jacket over things like Seattle's trident. I don't know. Some of the celebrations are a little weird and out there.
Yeah, it's kind of a little what's the word, it's a little forced to, like when you have like a sword, or I think that the Pirates have a sword, and the Mariners have the trident. The home run jacket is original, and it also like incorporates the entire team, where they had all the different flags of the nations that the various Blue Jay players come from. I thought that was a very organic way of having some fun at the same time.
Yeah, so I guess we'll have to see if that happens. I don't know. You said you haven't been tuned into spring training. I definitely haven't been, so I don't know if they've been testing anything out during spring training, but I don't know.
That's the perfect time to do it. I think that if you have a home run celebration, you don't waste it. You don't waste the home run celebration in spring training. You have to save it for the real thing.
Okay. Well, some negative news is, unfortunately, Danny Jansen has another wrist injury.
Yeah, he fractured the pisiform bone in his right wrist. I don't know what bone. There's like 1,000 bones in your wrist, I guess. So he fractured one of them. And I guess here's another tweet from Hazel May. John Schneider gave an update. He said that we expect after the doctor's visit, it'll just depend on how Jano's feeling in the coming days, or really in the next week, and to see if he can start doing some stuff after that. We're still looking at a couple of weeks. So he's probably basically to translate that, he's going to miss probably a little bit of the start of the regular season, but hopefully not too long.
Yeah, and I mentioned to you that maybe he should consider using the bat to hit the ball rather than his hands. That might be a little more conducive to fewer injuries.
And I don't know what kind of bat he uses, but maybe he might consider switching to Louisville Sluggers.
Maybe. Or like maybe there's some sort of bat guard that he can attach to the handle that also protects his wrists. I don't know.
I believe that's called a bubble.
Oh, they have
entire
those?
Bubble surrounding his body.
Oh, I gotcha. Maybe some bubble wrap, I guess.
That could work. Yeah, just wrap the entire bat from the top of the bat just all the way up to his arm in bubble wrap. And just his whole body. It'll help when he's catching, too.
It would slow him down on the base pass, but I guess that would take away from the attention from Kirk's slow base running.
I suppose, but you know what? Maybe bubble wrap isn't the greatest idea though, because like once he gets to like first base, he'll be held onto first by the first baseman trying to pop all the bubbles all the time. So it's not going to steal any bases that way.
Okay. And other injury news. I think this came out before the Jansen injury. Oh well, according to your date stamps here, it's the same day, I guess. Kevin Gausman.
Well, it was an ongoing process of news.
Yeah.
I think.
Kevin Gausman not likely to be ready for it says unlikely to be ready for opening day, but I read that as he's not pitching opening day.
Yeah, no, there was some thought like there was some mixed reporting because I at some points I heard that he was going to be ready for opening day. I think maybe even he said that himself, but I think the news that we all expected based on this is that he will not be ready, but hopefully he won't be missing too much time. He would have been the one to get the opening day start, but it looks like Jose Berríos is going to be pitching on opening day instead. It'll be his first opening day start since 2 years ago, and that didn't go so well. So our expectations have changed quite a bit over the past 2 years of Jose Berríos' pitching performance.
Yeah, for sure. And so even though I haven't been tuned into the spring training and all and who's doing what, I did listen to the most recent At the Letters, and they were talking about Gausman, but also like Manoah is still injured apparently.
Yeah, he's got some shoulder stuff going on as well, so yeah that's so there's some injuries happening a little bit with the starting pitching, but I'm not sure what we were going to expect from Manoah. I don't think it was a given that he was going to be, well, I guess we, the best case scenario, he was going to be plunked into the rotation, but I don't think anybody assumed that was going to happen.
I guess if he ended up being the opening day starter, then that would be very bad news for the Blue Jays rotation.
Is what I... Well, yeah, I guess, or good news. I don't know. Yeah. But let's just hope that all these arms start to feel better soon.
Okay. And there's one more piece of news here that is like stuck in between your weekly outcomes. So I think that it's, I don't know if this is this part of your weekly outcomes or is this a news story?
My last one is the Gossman one here.
Okay,
so,
okay.
So we're going to the weekly outcomes now.
Okay, sounds good. Well, why don't you start?
Okay, well, I'll start with my strikeout because my strikeout is injuries. We've got Jansen, Gossman, and Manoah are some of the key guys who are not going to be able to start the season with the Jays. So you know, not great that we have some injuries happening. Like I said,
yeah. I guess that's also my strikeout, but specifically a little more specific. My strikeout is Jansen's wrist. Which he seems to have a problem with it every year in some way or another. But hopefully,
I wonder if they can put a steel plate in there or something.
Well, I think I saw some fans suggesting replacing his skeleton with adamantium, and maybe that will help.
Well, the thing is though, like first they have to invent adamantium, I think.
Well, somebody did. It's somebody thought of it, and it exists in some form in the real world, in like comics and movies.
That's not the real world. That is called fantasy. That is fiction. I hope you realize that the X-Men are not real people. Do you know this?
I don't know. There's it. Are you sure that the movies aren't documentaries?
Pretty sure. Professor Xavier is played by renowned British actor Patrick Stewart. So Patrick Stewart is his real name, and also spoiler alert, he is not. In case you were getting even more confused, a captain on a futuristic starship.
Well, I will just finish off saying that James McAvoy portrays Professor X. So you know that. That is like a fictionalized account of real life events. Anyway, where do you want to go next?
Well, I'll go to my no decision, and my no decision is the pitching depth, because it could be a good thing this year. Like it was something that I was, it's something that I am always worried about. One of the many things I worry about, but you know. This could be something that might be a strength for the Jays this year if we're lucky, because Bowden Francis has been pitching well. Yariel Rodriguez could be, you know, a surprise if things go really well for him. Although, you know, maybe it's a bit wishful thinking for him to be in the starting rotation this year. Ricky Tiedemann could eventually he's had some injury problem a little bit as well, I think, but he could be you know, later in the season as part of the starting rotation. Even I think. I've heard good things about Mitch White too. So you know, the pitching depth is something that like on the back end of the rotation is something that could be a bit of a strength for the Jays, which is something that, you know, again, they were lucky last year, but it was something that I was very worried about all year long for the Jays.
Definitely. They need some pitching depth, because I think we mentioned quite a few times this off season and we're not the only ones that, yeah, you mentioned that they were really lucky with injuries last year, and that wasn't going to hold for another year. So we'll see. To my no decision, just kind of touched on it. Not quite tuned into the Jays yet this season. I'm not really like completely in the loop on what's happening with the team and what's going on in spring training. The only times I really kind of get an update on the Blue Jays, I mean, you send me information in Messenger, but it really, when we come together to record, is when I look over the show notes and see all the news pieces put together that I kind of get a picture on what's going on. So I'm just hoping that I mean, and part of it has been, I've been doing a lot of travel and being kind of like disconnected from sports in general, including the Ottawa Senators, which is, spoiler alert, we're not doing Sens from home because, for that reason, really, like I haven't been tuning in to what's happening. So, I'm just hoping that once we get into the regular season that, you know, I'll be able to watch some games and be, you know, get back into the groove, so to speak.
Sure. And I guess you could say that, you know, no news is good news when you're in the spring training mode. So like we have all these expectations about the Jays, and they won't be realized until, you know, we're really getting up to the trade deadline, really. We won't know what kind of a team this is until May or June. You know, this is something that we just have to see how it plays out. And the fact that there aren't any gigantic catastrophes happening in spring training is, I guess you could say, a positive thing.
No catastrophe is definitely a positive. Okay, what's your home run then?
Speaking of catastrophes, my home run is Toby Swanson, and I don't want to like make light of this. Like, it was a really serious accident that happened with the Swanson family. I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago now, but he made his return to the field in a wheelchair let's just see here. I was reading an article from BlogTO. It says that he is continuing to make positive strides in his recovery. He was able to return home with his family last week, and he was able to come to the ballpark to watch Eric Swanson pitch. So that is just, you know, a really good bit of really great news for Eric Swanson and his family. So that's something you don't want hanging over anybody, but especially Eric Swanson throughout the baseball season.
Yeah, great. Yeah, for sure. That is some good news from turn into good news from bad news. So that's good.
Yeah.
So my home run, Joey Votto. I mentioned we wanted to talk about him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not so much for signing him as a player. It's cool that that they signed Votto and that he's going to be a Blue Jay in some form, but the home run is specifically like his attitude towards his minor league contract. Like he's basically said, you know, he's going to work hard to work his way onto the major league team as best as he can. And just in general, he gives really good interviews. I've seen a couple, not all of them from this year, from spring training, but like I've seen previous interviews where he just seems like a funny guy, and is just basically playing to have some fun. And that's a bit of a refreshing change from like a player giving the cliche interview answers. So yeah, Joey Votto is my home run.
And like you said, the Jays seem to be having some fun during spring training. And compared to other baseball personalities, Joey Votto is definitely original. He's very different than a lot of the other baseball players. And it's nice to see. It's nice to see that he's with the Blue Jays. And it's nice to see that he knows that, you know, he has no illusions about what his expectations are, both on himself and from the outside. He expects to be, I think, starting the season in Buffalo, and, you know, unless he just really hits the cover off the ball with his Louisville slugger, we may not see him this year, unless there's some sort of injury happening.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just see what happens. I mean, it's also possible that he outplays some of the DH signings that the Blue Jays made. So I mean, there's lots of different possibilities. We'll see. I guess.
I think we're looking at Daniel Vogelbach right now as far as who's going to be on the team between Votto and Vogelbach. It's the dueling V's, I guess you could say. But we'll have to wait and see. But I think at this point, especially with the late start that Votto's had, it's Vogelbach's kind of spot to lose on the roster.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I think that's it for our Jays news and weekly outcomes. So I think we are looking ahead to the Blue Jays schedule. What do we have coming up?
Well, not the Blue Jays schedule, but the MLB schedule. I don't know if you're probably not aware of this, but the season starts next week between the Dodgers and the Padres. Like I said, we'd be talking about this a little later on about Korea, but the season starts in South Korea on Wednesday.
Well, that's a little weird. So, like, there'll be one game and then nothing for a week.
Two games.
Oh, two games.
I think two games. Yeah. So then, you know, they've done this in years past where they start the season in Japan, and they do this, I guess, a week or so early, just because, you know, the players need to have time to de-jet lag themselves, like, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Like, that's sort of what the NHL did this year with the Senators, the three teams or four teams playing in Sweden. They had like a really light schedule around their games. Yeah, so that's kind of
a fun matchup, though. Glasnow versus Darvish is the pitching matchup.
Okay. It is just a little strange, though, that there'll be official games happening in the middle of spring training. That's weird.
Well, you know, it's like I said, it's happened before, and then last year there was kind of a similar situation with the WBC where, you know, they were playing for keeps, throughout spring training. So it's not totally out of the ordinary. Like they've done, I don't know if they've done Australia, but like I said, they've done Japan and they've gone and started the season in exotic locales early, so it's not out of the ordinary for sure.
All right, well, I guess it is only a week. And speaking of, let's look ahead to the Blue Jays then. What I find interesting is that their first series is a 4-game series, right, in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So normally, what's happened in the past is they'll play Thursday with the rest of the MLB teams, and then the next day is an off day. But this year, they'll be playing the second game right away because they're in a dome stadium, so they'll be able to.
Exactly.
I kind of like that because I find it like a little bit anticlimactic, I guess, to have the first game of the season and then an off day. I guess it's Wednesday that they start then, not Thursday, right?
It's Thursday. Wednesday is an off day. Tuesday is the last day of spring training. Tuesday, March 26th. Everything starts at, I guess, 1 p.m. is when the first game starts. Looking at the schedule, it looks like it'll be the Brewers and Mets kicking things off on Thursday. The Jays play the Rays at 4:10. I'm just kind of doing a bit of an audible here, but we're going to have to maybe do a bonus episode. We've been doing every 2 weeks, and I think that's what we're normally going to do throughout the year. But we might have to do we'll have to figure out what we're going to do for our season preview, because in theory, next week is no podcast week.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to sort that out offline, I guess. We'll figure it out. Because I was thinking about that too. That we normally have some sort of season preview episode, and I don't know that it makes sense to do a season preview after it's already started.
Doing one like this week, there's still some moves to be made. There's still, you know, some pitchers to be signed. There's Montgomery and Snell that are looking for a pitching home, and you know, the pitchers are getting injured here and there, which we'll get to in just a minute. You know, like Garrett Cole. I didn't put this in the notes, but Garrett Cole is going to be missing at least a month of the season for the Yankees. So they need some pitching help. And there was a Padres trade that we'll talk about soon too. That was very interesting. So there's still some moves to be made in this offseason. Yeah, not a lot, sure, but there are still some moves.
Okay, well, why don't we get into the that other news? I'll get you to start off wherever makes the most sense here.
Okay, well, I just mentioned the trade here. It was a bit of a surprise to me because you know, I thought maybe the Padres were kind of done making moves. But apparently not. They traded for Chicago White Sox starting pitcher Dylan Cease. They traded Drew Thorpe, who actually they acquired in the Juan Soto trade earlier in the offseason. Jairo Iriarte, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Samuel Zavala and reliever Steven Wilson are sending to the White Sox. So that was kind of a last minute trade before the Padres headed off to Korea. So that's a big trade for San Diego. And speaking of the of previewing the season, that changes what the West might look like a tiny bit as far as, you know, I think that it's pretty an inevitable conclusion that the Dodgers should and will win the division. But other than the Rockies, it might be up for grabs.
Well, interesting. We'll have to take a look at that. And I think you mentioned also injuries still making things difficult and unclear in terms of player movement. So there's an injury here to a Brewers player.
Yeah, their closer Devin Williams has been diagnosed with two stress fractures in his back, according to Jeff Passan. So he's going to miss at least six. Well, he's going to miss at least maybe 3 months. He's going to be shut down entirely for 6 weeks. And yeah, he won't be able to pitch for 3 months. And that is a big blow for a bunch of teams, actually, because for one, obviously it's a big blow for the Brewers because he's their best relief pitcher. And there were, I think, a bunch of teams, Yankees included, who were lining up to maybe, try to trade for Devin Williams, and that's not going to happen. It looks like he's not going to get traded this year because he will miss at least half of it.
So well, I guess unless a team wants to take like a big risk, but then you know the Brewers wouldn't want to trade him because they wouldn't get much of a return, I guess.
Yeah, and the Brewers are kind of one of those teams that are similar to the Rays and to the Guardians, where they kind of trade a player before he reaches his maximum value as opposed to after. So, you know, we saw them trade, what's his name? Hader, Josh Hader to San Diego actually last year. Ahead of his, I think he was ahead of his free agency. So we've seen them do that before. We saw them trade Corbin Burns to the Orioles. So, interesting developments here.
Yeah, for sure. Another development, Josh Donaldson, former Blue Jay, announced his retirement.
Yeah. So he's had, maybe not as great a career as he had hoped, but, those years with the Blue Jays, I think he even said that himself were the best years of his career.
He did say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that, his baseball career, both on the field and off the field, didn't end the way he would have wanted it to. It's nice to look back at those years that he spent with the Jays and the team wouldn't have been where they were without him and his MVP season.
Oh yeah, for sure. And just this article, or not article, this paragraph that you pasted about the retirement, just a few oddities in this. So he said he announced his retirement on The Mayor's Office. So I assume that's a YouTube show, but
I guess so.
I misread it and thinking like that's a weird place for him to announce his retirement at the Mayor's Office. That's a little odd.
Generally, they call that City Hall as well.
Yeah. And then at the end of it, it says the Bringer of Rain has decided it's time to hang up his spikes. I might have choose something to do with an umbrella, maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe.
The Bringer of Rain has decided to put away his umbrella because I don't know.
Or just let it drain a little bit, dry out a little
what
bit.
What do so spikes that, have to do with rain? There's a missed opportunity for a pun there.
Yeah. Well, if it's muddy, yeah, your spikes aren't going to dig into the mud very well.
I guess. Okay, and then another piece of news. This is not player or league related, but an interesting documentary. There's been a lot of interesting documentaries for a few different sports, but this one is baseball related.
Yeah, the Netflix announced that they're going to be coming out with a documentary about the Expos and their last season in Montreal. So that'll be, I don't know, will it be interesting? Will it be painful to watch? Because I feel like a lot of Canadian fans especially really have been, it's been hammered on, over and over, hammered into us how this whole thing ended and what could have been. And it's for 20 years we've been you know, thinking about, you know, what could have happened in 1990 for 30 years, we've been thinking about what could have happened in 1994. Had the season not been canceled by MLB. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this, because I think, you know, we've gone over all the possibilities of what could have happened, what, you know, all the different scenarios, and you know, maybe this will just provide a little bit of closure for some Expos fans, because I was telling you offline, I was at a store and I was talking Expos with the cashier, and you know, we were talking about potential expansion cities, and you know, because on my jean jacket, I have an Expos pin that you got me for Christmas one year. So we're talking Expos, and I was like, and I said, you know, the reality of the situation is that the Expos are not going to get an expansion team. That's just not a possibility.
Yeah, not likely.
Yeah, MLB is kind of stringing fans along on that sense, because it's going to be Nashville for one on the East, and they're going to have a West team to pick. So it's going to be like Portland or Salt Lake City or something like that. But it's not going to be, or even Oakland, but it's not going to be Montreal. I think Oakland is more likely to see a team return than Montreal ever will. And maybe this will just kind of give Montreal Expos fans a bit of a reality check, an unfortunate, sad reality check that the Expos are never coming back.
Yeah, maybe. And just about expansion, I wonder, like, if the MLB's first expansion destination might depend on where the NHL goes, because there's a lot of rumors and talk about NHL expansion into places like Salt Lake City is one of the places. They've mentioned Atlanta again. There's lots of talk of expansion in both leagues, so that's interesting at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that the NHL is going to lead the way, going to be a big influence on MLB. But like I said, Nashville, which already has the Predators, is I think all but a guarantee that they're going to get an expansion franchise. And yeah, it's going to be somewhere on the West. It's going to be Portland. It's going to be maybe Salt Lake City. I would say even Vancouver has a better shot of landing a team than Montreal does at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they have the population to support it, and there's already baseball there, and they have multiple leagues playing.
Even still Vancouver's pretty close, and so is Portland to Seattle, so that could be a problem, because we've seen when Montreal moved to Washington, and it only got resolved this year. I think there's been lots of bickering between Baltimore and Washington about the cable deal, the Masson deal between the two of them.
Right.
And that could, you know, that could be, you know, whether it's Portland on the U.S. side arguing with Seattle or Vancouver on the Canada side are, you know, in a battle with the Blue Jays. It's you know, if they're too close, that could be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to see. Just this, going back to this Netflix documentary, do you know if it's going to be just one movie, or is it going to be a series? Because I feel like this, from the description, it would kind of lend itself to being like a short documentary series instead of.
Well, yeah, film. I don't. It looks to me, they say the documentary, so it looks like it's maybe just a one off. But we won't know until it comes out. I don't know. I don't think that they've given any potential date as to when it will come out either. So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
All right. I guess it's time enough to take a quick break.
Yeah, so we're gonna, like you said, we're gonna skip the danger horns, and we'll be back to talk about some personal outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I was going to mention this off the top, a couple things off the top, which I forgot to do. But it might sound a little different right now than our regular recording setup. You can probably hear the sound of my room that I'm recording in my living room. High ceilings a lot more because I'm recording on my iPhone microphone, because right now my Wi-Fi is down. So I cannot hook up to my other devices to get a good audio setup.
Yeah, I think it sounds okay. We'll be fine. But I mentioned to you, you said you have a tech coming in on Tuesday, so you're guaranteed for your Wi-Fi to come back up 5 minutes before the tech arrives. So you'll be good by Tuesday for sure.
I see. And also another thing I forgot to mention off the top, are you stocked up on non-alcoholic Guinness stouts for today? Because today is St. Patrick's Day.
I am. I'm likely not going to have anything because, I mean, I hadn't really thought about that being St. Patrick's Day, but I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind and have some. Speaking of which, though, we've both noticed that the stock for Guinness Zero seems to be replenished and in a lot more places around the province. So that's good to see, because there's been a lot of issues with trying to find Guinness Zero in this year so far. So that's good to see. And actually, that reminds me, I sent you guys you and Glenn a message saying that I saw an advertisement on a bus shelter in Vancouver for Guinness Zero advertising for St. Patrick's Day. So that's interesting.
No, I wonder if now this is just my conspiratorial mind going, if they kind of had a little bit of a forced kind of drought of Guinness, and then all of a sudden it's magically appeared right in time for St. Patrick's Day, you know?
Maybe. Maybe that wouldn't be the first time that companies do something fishy to raise popularity or whatever of a drink.
Right. And you know, like, as far as non-alcoholic stouts that I've had, Guinness is one of the better ones for sure. But as far as alcoholic stouts, like with, like, you know, regular stouts, Guinness is just okay in my mind. I think there's a lot better you can do if you're going to have a stout then go with just a standard Guinness. They're just, you know, just open your door and yell out to your closest local microbrewery, and they'll have a better option than Guinness 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, and that goes with the non-alcoholic stuff too. There's some better stouts out there and darker beers. But anyways,
I've got a Mocha Nitro Stout in my fridge as well. So that'll be an interesting one to get going on.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. So why don't we get into our personal outcomes then? You can start.
All right. Well, me or you?
You can start. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll start with my strikeout. And this is kind of an older one, but we haven't talked in a while. I had to spend $200 to clean my toilet.
You know that you can buy supplies for a lot less and clean it yourself, right?
Well, yes. That's part of the reason is the supplies that I bought. I got one of those scrubbing bubbles, like disposable washer things, but I was using, I had a leftover one that you're not supposed to flush, and then it got stuck in the toilet, and it eventually, I tried to get it out, but it kept on getting further and further in. So we had to call the plumber to use their high-tech plumbing snake to kind of
okay,
loosen it up. And what's that?
I was going to say, that makes a little more sense, because I was going to ask you, did you buy your cleaning supplies from the back of a van or something? Like, I think you got ripped off.
It's just one of those things where, you know, you try to fix a problem and make it worse and worse and worse and worse until you have to call the professionals to finish the job.
I see. Well, my strikeout is travel. One of the reasons we haven't had a lot of podcasts this spring training is just because I've been traveling a lot. It's the actual mode of transportation that is that I have the strikeout for. We've had to do a lot of driving, but also we flew to British Columbia, and the way over there wasn't so bad, but it was the flight back was a late flight, and the plane was I guess one of the older models that doesn't have as comfortable seats as some of the newer planes, and they seemed to be blowing hot air into the cabin instead of cool air, so it was very uncomfortable and not a pleasant experience, and I didn't get to sleep a lot. The only positive, I guess, from those flights is I got to watch some movies. I rewatched Dune Part 1 in anticipation of watching Part 2, and I got to rewatch a movie that I've been meaning to rewatch for a while, Collateral. That one from 2006, I think. Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx.
That movie is about a loan application, I think, right?
there might be one involved somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. On the bright side, I'll give you a bright side on this one. Did the doors stay on the plane while you were in flight?
As far as I know, yep.
You'd be able to tell if the doors flew off of the plane, I think.
Yeah, probably. But the planes stayed intact.
Yeah, well, so there you go. There's a bright side for you. That's why those older planes are still in use, because the doors stay on.
Okay, what do you have next?
I'll go No Decision. And this kind of happened today, actually. I was playing with Leo and Beau downstairs in the basement. Kids don't yes and very well. Like Leo was playing restaurant, and I was trying to add to the situation. As you know, he's like, okay, what do you want to order? Well, I was trying to make things up, and he just shut everything down. It had to be what his restaurant was. My kids need to work on their improv skill. They need to work on their yes and.
That's surprising, because normally, I don't know. I think maybe sometimes kids, they just do what they want to do, and they don't want to accept direction.
Yeah. Well, they have their own direction. I was told no silliness. I'm not allowed to be silly, and I have to order what Leo says. So that's what it was. And so there was no yes ending at all.
So the restaurant that Leo will open is probably not going to do very well.
If there's no silliness, I think his restaurant probably did have a Michelin star, a pretend Michelin star. But yeah, there was no silliness to be dealt with.
All right. Well, my no decision is I wrote down here IMAX experience. Glenn and I went to see Dune Part 2 on IMAX. I didn't get the chance to see Part 1 on an IMAX screen. I did see it on a theater screen. But, while it was nice and, like, visually, the movie was well-suited for IMAX. But I found that the screen looked just about the same as a regular movie theaters, and the seats actually weren't as good as some of the big movie theater seats you get in it was the Landmark Cinemas. The sound wasn't the greatest either. I felt like maybe it was a bit like the levels were a little bit off, maybe a little bit too distorted on some of the louder sounds. But overall, I think it was a good experience. It's just I don't think that I would do IMAX again. At least maybe I would do true IMAX, which I think you can only get at the museums or more expensive theaters.
Oh, so you had false IMAX then?
Well, hybrid IMAX. I don't know what to call it, but yeah.
High mid, or IMID. I mean, not high mid. IMID, not max, but mid.
I guess maybe
that's what the kids are saying these days. Mid.
Yeah, I don't know how they use that in what context, so we'll see.
Not for IMAX.
Yeah, I guess not. All right, do you have a home run?
Yeah, my home run is short listens and long reads. I've really like, you know, I've been listening to a lot of music lately, and I like that most artists these days are putting out full albums still. Like, I think that's maybe a bit of a dying art form, but they're putting out full albums, but the albums aren't like super epically long. They're like usually like, I think the average album I've been listening to lately is about like 45 minutes. So that's I think a perfect length of time to sit down and listen to the entirety of an album, because that's the best way I think to experience a full album, is just to listen to it from start to finish, because you get an idea of what the depending on who you're listening to, but what the kind of artistic view is by the musician and what their intent was and everything. So that's nice. And on the other half of it, long reads. I've been really into reading super long books lately, not really necessarily on purpose, but you know, it's nice to have just a really long book to kind of look forward to keep reading. Like right now I am reading, it's a really interesting book actually. It's called, I'm just bringing it up on my phone here. It's called The Game. It's a baseball book, and it's basically kind of the behind the scenes of going from about 1991-ish or around there up until maybe, I think it was published in 2015, where they talk about, you know, Bud Selig's term as commissioner and the behind the scenes of all the collective bargaining negotiations and things like that behind the strike and everything, and all the what's happening with, you know, all the ownership and all the bickering and all the back and forth between the players. So it's a really interesting read, and it's quite a long read. My other long read is The Power Broker, which I am only 100 pages into. I'm falling behind because I'm part of this book club where you have to read 100 pages a month, and I've kind of fallen behind quite a bit. I think they're into part three, so I should be up into the 300 page zone at this point. But you know, it's just nice to have a long book to sit down and read.
I go back and forth between for reads. Sometimes I prefer shorter reads just so, you know, like I don't get bogged down and take forever to read it, but like
a palate cleanse.
Sometimes, you know, if it's a long read, but it's a quick pace, that works well. I like that. When you get a long read and it's feels like a slog to get through, then I think a lot of times I've decided it's not worth sticking through a book just because you want it, like to say that you finished it. Like if you're not interested in it, it's better to drop it. But as far as like, you know, short listens and long reads, I kind of think that way sometimes. Short movies are good because I mean, Dune was a long movie, both parts, but it's nice to sit down and watch a full movie that's like an hour and a half to 2 hours, and you don't have to block out a whole ton of time. You know, short movies are also pretty good. But unlike music, movies seem to be getting longer and longer.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think like the like Oscar contending movies definitely get longer, but in general I think they're pretty short, and you're right, shorter movies are good. You know, generally Krista and I don't start watching our movies till 9 or 9:30 at night, so if it's like a 3-hour movie, there's no way we're gonna make it through. So yeah, like having like a 2-hour maximum length movie is good for sure, because otherwise we will fall asleep, it's guaranteed.
Yeah, bring back intermissions. I have a home run.
That's how I watched Killers of the Flower Moon. That's like a 3-hour-ish movie, and I watched that over 4 days. And that's also how I'm going to watch Napoleon, I assume, eventually. That's only 2.5 hours, but that's my new strategy. If it's over 3 hours, I know I'm going to have to split it up over, turn it into a mini series, basically.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I actually split up. I watched Poor Things over the weekend, and I watched part of it.
That's before, on my list.
Yeah, part of it before going to see Dune Part 2, and then I watched the other part of it. It was only an hour and a half remaining, so I just watched the rest of that the next day. Mm-hmm. My home run, not related to movies, music, or books. It is related to travel. I wrote down Langley, BC. I had been to Vancouver twice before, and we were in Vancouver for the end of our trip, but we went to Langley, BC, which is just a little suburb in the what's known as the Lower Mainland, which includes like Surrey and Abbotsford and a few places. But it was a nice little city. We rented a car because it's unfortunately, because it's a suburb, it's laid out, it's not as dense as a downtown core. Like, you know, in Toronto, Vancouver, we're able to walk most places. Mm-hmm. And but unfortunately, you could not do that with Langley. I guess you could if you stayed at a hotel in, like, they kind of have a downtown area-ish where the shopping is. But yeah, it was a nice little place. It was nice to see mountains pretty much all over where you went. And I sent this to you and Glenn. There was a cool toy store. It was called Toy Traders. Oh, yeah. And I didn't buy anything, but I had a fun time looking around because the owner of the store like displays whole bunch of stuff in like dioramas and whatnot. I think the best ones that I appreciated were they depicted the Battle of Hoth from Empire Strikes Back. And then also it wasn't as good as the Battle of Hoth, but they had, Return of the Jedi, some Endor stuff on there. Like, it was very well done, and they had like lots of models and stuff on display, like life-size stuff. So yeah, it was very cool. Nice place to visit. I recommend it.
Cool. Well, if I ever make it to Langley, BC, I will have to check it out. Although I'm not at all a toy collector, really. I'm not, unless you can count guitars as toys, but even then I don't have a ton of guitars compared to your average guitar collector. So there you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm a toy collector either, but I think the store itself is a bit of an experience. I don't know if we have anything like that in Ottawa, but something to look out for. I think it's always neat to see like what people do with their stores for things like, you know, for collectible things and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge, the Star Wars toys market is a huge one. And I actually read an article, I think before you sent me that picture, or maybe it was around the same time. Leonardo DiCaprio is apparently a huge Star Wars toy collector. And he like goes onto all these eBay websites anonymously and has quite the collection.
I would say, I hope anonymously, because people would probably jack up the price for him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but he could afford it anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I think that's about it. To be determined when when our next episode is, although I think we should try to get something out for the season preview, but we'll see how our schedules align. I yes. don't have any travel coming up anytime soon, so that might work out.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time whenever it is.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You can hear in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over you?